All right, what's going on, Alex? This is the Evolve Your Brand podcast, and we are live right now on Dave Gold Evolve, the free Facebook group. If you guys aren't already a part of it, feel free to join. We have an incredible, incredible guest today who he has an amazing story where he went from being homeless at one point after starting a gym. He's also an MMA fighter, to now scaling his business up to seven figures. And now he wants to go from seven figures, a millionaire, to being a billionaire. I have had the pleasure of connecting with Alex when he was just starting out in this journey and seeing his growth. And one thing that's really stood out to me about Alex is how he can wear that suit and have that beautiful award behind him, but he also knows how to stay humble. So it's a pleasure having you on today. Great to see you again, man.
Dave, I really appreciate you having me here. Thank you, man. It's an honor to be here. I've listened to a lot of these shows, man. It's cool to actually be on one of them now.
Awesome. So we have been playing a little bit of tag. First off, I was in LA and you lost your phone. What happened there?
You know, man, it's like one of those things. LA is a city where you can really get lost in the sauce, man. I went out, you know, and I just lost the phone, man. Just lost the phone. So for the next couple of days, right, I'm panicking because I'm like, man, where is this device and where are my messages? But I tell you what, it was like one of the most peaceful 3 days of my life. It really was, to just kind of like tune that out, just really focus and yeah, man.
So how about we get in a little bit into your journey? I saw that you wrote, it's not important how long you live, but what's important is how you live. And you're someone that is gone from being a professional fighter to a broke gym owner to now a seven-figure CEO. What happened? How did you just evolve on this journey to the place where you are today?
That's a great question. That's a great question. And that saying, I would say, came from Tony Robbins, right? And Tony Robbins also says something else: change your story, change your life. Change your story, change your life. And I remember after losing everything, I went into this like mode of self-pity. We had talked about it as a gym owner, right? I'm fighting around the world, traveling the world. I get an opportunity to invest in this gym, invest. Doors closed. I don't know anything about business, right? So sunk in self-pity. Spent about eight months in a tent, and halfway through, it was like, change your story, change your life, man. Change your story, change your life. Once that happened, it was just like a domino effect, man. Change the environment. The environment brought the right people, right? The right people brought the right mindsets and skill sets. The right skill sets brought the momentum to catapult in the right direction. So it was, in a synopsis, it was just a domino effect of just the right decisions and the right intuition.
Mm-hmm. And where do you think that intuition really started to flow? Were you always someone that was intuitive, that was really following your heart and going with your gut? Or at one point, were you someone that was really more pushing for things to work and trying to control everything and micromanage everything?
I was always the black sheep, always the black sheep, always went against the confines of reality. I always wanted to test that limit of like the barrier of like what's socially acceptable and not. So I think that's why I became a fighter. I mean, you trace it back to like deep subconscious rooted issues, why I became a fighter. It makes sense, you know, the violent past, the upbringing, right, all that. But then, you know, you really look at it objectively and you realize it was all a journey, you know, it was all a journey at the end of the day. So.
And what has been some of your biggest struggles or challenges along this journey? Do you want to elaborate on anything that's happened to you where did you grow up, by the way?
I was a mutt, man. I grew up all around Northern Virginia. So it was all over the place, man. Just, you know, every year would move and would go to, you know, grow up in different schools. And right. So when I was 16, I moved out on my own, got my GED, enrolled in an online college and just kind of like did the life thing myself. And, you know, it was there I learned that really at the end of the day, like, yeah, we have a great network of people we surround ourselves with, but the only intuition, the only person you should trust is really yourself. Everyone else is just a filter. You know, everything else is just a filter and a projection of your reality. So, yeah, man, and it was just a matter of taking ownership and owning it and realizing, like, you don't, like, there is nobody else. It is only you, you know? And from there, I got to build an amazing network of people. From there, I got to build an amazing network of people that I choose to surround myself with. But yeah, man, that intuition is I would say, what has gotten me to where I am today.
You know, I feel like a lot of the time as we grow up, especially in certain societies, we're not being taught to trust our intuition. And intuition is suppressed. And people are trying to force us into that square peg. Even, you know, we might be a round peg being forced into a square hole, and it doesn't really match. And
it's so an indoctrination process, 100%.
Exactly. We live a lot of our life just not feeling fulfilled with our job, with our relationship, with our career choices. And for me, it was really breaking out of the US. I went and I lived in countries like Israel and in Australia and New Zealand. And now I'm currently in Europe, in Portugal. And what has been crazy about that experience is seeing that each country is its own little bubble, has its own culture that they don't realize that everyone else is living differently. And what's ironic about it is because I'm starting to learn more languages. I'm on my third language right now.
Wow, and incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So I've learned Hebrew and now I'm learning Portuguese. I want to learn Spanish too. Maybe we'll get down to Brazil, Argentina, Colombia. Yeah. Hopefully I'll see you down there. Yeah. And what's interesting about languages is that in these languages, a lot of the time, our expressions carry over from one language to another. But culture doesn't, okay? Many times culture does not. And yet, if you don't get out of your own little bubble, you never realize that. And so that's why I really encourage anyone that's listening to at least taste that digital nomad lifestyle. Go out and see if you can live in a new culture, a new country. And I know it might be a little bit more challenging today, but at the same time, it's not, because where there is a will, there is a way. When I wanted to leave Israel after living there for 8 years, I went to Poland and I started volunteering in hostels and living on farms. And I did the same thing when I went to Israel. I lived in agricultural communities. And I really did the hard work necessary to get to a place where I was self-sufficient, where I was fulfilled, where I was doing something that I loved. And a lot of the times that takes sacrifice. And we don't want to make sacrifices in life because we just get comfortable, especially, you know, maybe we're growing up in America and it's like we drive everywhere. We don't want to walk. We don't want to take the bus. What? Why would we take the bus? You know, we don't want to take the train. That's for like poor people, right? Right. And yet in other countries, most people don't even have cars a lot of the time. People, you know, in this city, it's so easy to get around without a car. And so just that sacrifice is so crucial. And I want to tie it in to something else that you've talked about, which is time being irrelevant and how you decided that you weren't going to quit until you were successful. So is there anything that you want to say about that, about how you decided not to give up on this journey of online entrepreneurship?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. That's it. And I would go back and I would definitely advocate that world travel is really life-changing because it does something to the soul, right? It allows you to experience a different culture, a different way of life that in America, people would be like, you know, like it wouldn't coincide, right? And it does a humbling for the soul, 100%. And even just like being able to go experience what the locals are experiencing. You know, and when I lived in Thailand, I didn't have a dime to my name, right? Because I broke my collarbone. I was fighting out there, fought out there, boom, no way to make money. I lived in the villages with the Thai. We'd pick fruit from trees, we'd fish for food. It was the most humbling living. Came back to America and it was almost like culture shock in a sense, right? So I definitely wanted to acknowledge that. But then you said, what was my will to want to continue? What was my will to not want to give up? Man, was there even a choice? was there even a choice to give up, right? I think the only choice was just selling my soul to the corporation, selling my soul to the matrix, if you will. But was there even a choice? In my mind, there wasn't a choice. So it wasn't even an option to deviate from the path.
Mm-hmm. What would you say has been more challenging? Getting in shape and getting into the ring and putting your body on the line, or building a seven-figure business?
Building a seven-figure business, for sure. I think the management of people and the skill set of leadership is key. Without it, you just cannot do it. Without it, you just cannot do it. And that's really what I'm learning. And it makes so much sense why they say, if you want to make millions, focus on money. If you want to make billions, focus on people. And I'm really learning that. We've got 45 in-house employees. And now as a company, it's just like, just really just expanded. And it's like, wow. It really becomes about, like, if one person is unmotivated, it can have a domino effect on the company. So it's no longer about, like, let's make money. It's more like, hey, Dave, do you need anything today? And that really is for me, what has made the difference and how we've just grown so fast is just really focusing on people. There's like no like woo-woo magic Kool-Aid. If you got a great team and great people, nurture them the way that you nurture them. And they will help you see the vision through.
I really resonate with that because I was thinking about it today. I actually spent 2 years in an army, jumping out of plane, carrying a gun around. And I had this realization today that online entrepreneurship is actually way more difficult than going through 2 years in army, at least from my perspective. I didn't fight a war, but there were a lot of challenges, both physically and mentally. And yet online entrepreneurship can be emotionally draining at times. And the personas and the people that you interact with and the way in which you may want to take the higher road and other people will be trying to bring you down to the lower road. You may want to be conscious and ethical, and then you've got other people who talk a big game but do things that really trigger you emotionally. And so to stay calm, cool, and collected, to be non-reactive, and to not be hurt or feel any type of, you know, emotional connection to that shame or cancel culture is very difficult. And it's something that we're not taught or trained in school. It's not something that we grow up in. You know, maybe Gary Vee talks about how when people make fun of him, he tries to show them empathy, but that's a lot easier said than done. So I'm wondering if you have faced or what kind of adversity you've faced on your road to some kind of success in business and how you've handled it.
Man, that can go so many different ways. I've been through several partners, right? I've been through, you know, coming and going of people in the company. It's very hard. You know, I've had to learn to detach myself emotionally. But it's really hard, you know, because you're in there in the trenches with your guys every day. And like, no matter how big the company gets, like, you care that this is a person's livelihood. So we've had to let people go. That's really hard. I've had to detach myself emotionally from the process and rely on KPIs and data to be my North Star to allow us to stay consistent with the goals. Because and it's interesting because you've got the personable aspect of being a human being. And wanting to be that, you know, wanting to engage emotionally, but then you've got the, you know, the aspect of being an executive where it's like, wow, we have to really look at this data and make decisions based off of, you know, we got to let this person go because they're not meeting their, you know, their OKRs, their objective key results, right? So now that's, you know, this is where emotions do come involved. So it's like, it's kind of like a scale. It's kind of like having to be emotionally involved, but not emotionally attached. And it's weird. It's a paradox. But I would say detaching yourself emotionally from the process is definitely huge.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about how you've built a team that was able to help you scale to seven figures? So what went into that thought process, and what do you think you did differently than other CEOs who are still trying to get to where you actually, where you actually arrived to?
That's a great question. I would say it started with the mentors, right? So I surrounded myself with, you know, a group of mentors. Kent Clothier, he's a real estate billionaire, right? And we'll rephrase the question one more time, Dave, because I want to make sure that I touch on this point, right? I want to make sure I don't go off on a tangent, because the way my mind works, rephrase.
No, take us on a tangent. Take us on a tangent, and I'll lead us back if you're too far off.
Yeah. So you know, Kent, he tells me, he goes, hey, you know, the biggest thing with entrepreneurs is they're the highest at risk for mental health issues. Now, what do you mean? He goes, they're the highest at risk. Think about it. They're working all the time, high divorce rates, and they're always comparing themselves to the next best thing. I made one, I got to make five. I made five, got to be 10. At what point are you content with the success? And I think that's where it gets addictive, because we're always after this next thing as an entrepreneur. You know, it's always the next thing, which is, I totally get why these people in Hollywood off themselves. I'll tell you a story. I was living in LA in an $8 million mansion. And looking around at the walls, I'm the only one in there, thinking to myself, I totally get why people off themselves. Not that I would do it, but the loneliness that I felt at that time. I had everything in the world, all the success, a Ferrari sitting in the garage, and no fulfillment. So I've been there. I've been on both sides of the coin. You know, I've been on both sides of the coin of having everything but having nothing, and having nothing but having everything, you know? And I feel like being an entrepreneur really teaches you how to appreciate, because you can have everything, right? But the true test of a leader, the true test of an entrepreneur, is when you have everything, can you still be satisfied? Can you still be fulfilled? Can you still be fulfilled? Is it not the material? Is it what is it that's fulfilling, right? So there's so many ways that it can go, but I don't know if that made sense, or if it did, I was
even... Not only did it make sense,
that's where it went.
No, not only did it make sense, I've been feeling this as well, because when I was traveling around the world working for tech startups in the travel industry, I wasn't making six figures. I didn't have my own company. I had a small little personal development group on Facebook, and you know, here and there, I might mentor someone for a few bucks or for a phone, but I felt so fulfilled. I felt so happy, and I didn't have a ton of responsibilities. It seemed like I could just flow with life. There's a beauty, right? Ignorance is beauty. There's a beauty in just being the little man, in being the employee. Actually, I think Grant Cardone said there are far more employee millionaires than there are entrepreneur millionaires.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's a lot easier to just get a job and save up money and have your wife and your kids, rather than trying to build a business, and you've got to pay people, you've got overheads and expenses, and you're trying to reinvest the money into the business, and there's a lot of risk involved. And I got to the point where the pandemic hit, and I said, all right, it's time to take this leap of faith. It's time to be an entrepreneur, right? Isn't that what it's all about? Life? And so, sure enough, I walked out onto the plank and I jumped. And a few times people held me, and the lifeboat was there, and I swam to the shore, and I had a nice time, and maybe I got a nice tan, and a few times girls showed up and we had a good time together. But then maybe the lifeboat goes away. And maybe the girl gets rescued by the jet and you can't go with her. And you're sitting all alone at home or on the island, let's call it the island. And you know, you've got what you thought you were looking for, And then you realize, like, wait, this isn't it. This isn't it. And so there was a quote that you said, success without fulfillment equals failure. And I really, really resonate with that, because it's so easy to tout, I want to be a 6 or 7 figure entrepreneur or CEO. Ooh,
be careful.
but be careful what you wish for, because money can buy a lot of things, but it's not necessarily going to buy your happiness. So if you haven't done the healing work, if you haven't built up that network, that's something that is really important that, you know, we may not talk every day, but the fact that I'm able to get on a call with someone like you and have a podcast, like it means a lot. And a part of the reason why I was able to do that was because I worked on building a personal brand. I worked on building a network of like-minded people who, you know, maybe in times of need, I could call and I could ask for a little support. And yeah, that's where I'm at as well, where it's time to build, it's time to scale again, but only doing it from a place of alignment and fulfillment.
100%. And I love having these real conversations. You know, you get on a lot of shows and a lot of podcasts and it's a lot of fluff, but I love the vulnerability of it, because not a lot of people hear the good stuff, you know, like, oh man, made $4 million. Awesome. Cool. We did it. Got the 2 Comma Club Award. But man, they don't see the work that goes into it. You know, it's like everyone sees the success stories, Grant Cardone, Elon Musk, they didn't see what they had to go through. They didn't see Elon Musk living in his office coding. They didn't see Grant Cardone homeless, you know? So it's easy to want, you know, what everyone has now, you know, but the struggle to get there, that's the gold. That's the gold, Dave Gold, is the struggle in between. Cause that's the story. Without it, you can't appreciate it. And without it, it won't come true. It's like, I always say there's this resistance point, and this resistance point is the confines of reality. And right before you break through, everything is just fucking going terrible. It's just because you're breaking through and there's so much resistance pushing you back that once you break through, you're free. And that's where a lot of us get. So anytime you're experiencing that, I always say that's my cheat code from the universe to tell me, like, okay, buckle up, baby. Another point of resistance. Let's go. And it can work both ways. It can go backwards. It can go back. You can fall to at least point of resistance, right? As long as you're the law of momentum, right? You know, if you're going to go forward, go forward. Go backward. You can't do both.
So just to expand a little bit more, though, on going forward. So how were you able to build the team and start to scale your business when you were testing out different partners, different employees, different business models? What clicked? What worked?
Vision, value, culture. Those are the 3 questions I had to ask myself. What is my vision? Where do I want this company to go? What are the values that everybody who comes into this organization must possess? And what do I want the culture to look like? I knew I could train anybody with any skill set. I knew I could teach someone to build funnels, teach someone to run ads, teach someone to sell, teach someone to do admin work, right? And piece by piece, we would allocate each personnel, but they had to match the vision, value, and culture. Without it, I don't care. You could have the greatest credentials in the world. If you have vision, value, but you're not for the culture, no, you must have all 3. And as long as the vision, value, culture is there, I know you can be a respected and trusted person in this organization as we grow and scale. So of course you make more money, you reinvest it right back into the business. Make more money, reinvest it right back into the business. That gives you more money to expand, to add more personnel. So you expand your payroll, but now overheads at a ceiling. So now you're like, well, shit, oh my God, sales dipped, right? So now there's this catch-22. Everyone wants to be a business owner, but now let's say sales are going great. You expanded and now sales hits a deep, boom. Better make sure back end and operations is dialed in, that you're not just relying on a front end offer to generate revenue for your company. You know, so there's a lot of things that go into it, a lot of things that you would learn. A 6-figure business owner wouldn't know that a 5-figure business owner wouldn't know that a 7, 8, 9 that, you know, I don't even know the billionaires are experiencing, but at different, there's TJ Jakes says it, different level, different devil, right? different level, different devil. At different levels, there are different devils that we have to face. And that is that resistance, whether it's life, whether it's business. Those are the devils, man. You got to break past them.
Let's dive into a little bit deeper. What's
your vision? Let's go, Dave.
What's your vision, Alex?
My vision. My vision is to have all these parcels of land that have all these schools that teach the children in third world economies digital skill sets to leverage in a digital economy. So now poverty is non-existent because the land is then purchased by the nonprofit to then put solar farms that sell the energy back to the government. Please, if anyone's watching, don't assassinate me, right? Sell the money back to the government to then fund the people. So now poverty does not exist in any nation anywhere else because it's relying on renewable energy and digital skill sets and a digital economy. That is my vision for the world. And that is my vision with AOLE.
So I think you were just talking a little bit about your nonprofit, which is all about feeding villages, building schools, and leveraging digital education. Is there a name for your nonprofit or a way that people could donate?
There's so right now, there is no website up, but it's the International Humanitarian Corporation Society. So we will have something up, but so far this has been funded completely by AOLE. I haven't even opened it up to the public. It's just not something that I've come out and talked about. It's not something that I've allocated resources to, but we're looking at allocating some infrastructure Q2. So Q2, you should see something out there, but you could go to my Facebook, guys. You could see, it's so humbling to see, like, you know, these pictures of like this mother holding her baby. And like, you know, Klang, he's my Muay Thai trainer when I live down in Thailand. He's employed by the nonprofit. And so he goes and he feeds the Thai people village, right? We allocate funds. He then goes and feeds the people of the village around in Thailand. And it's so humbling if you go see these pictures, the people and the gratitude that they're expressing on their face. Like just the amount of the exchange of energy. Like, yeah, we got the humanitarian issue of like, okay, cool, people are hungry and right. But just like the exchange of energy. My God, to see that humility and humanity, it just truly shows that it's making a difference. So, International Humanitarian Corporation Society.
That's heartwarming. And that's part of the reason why I think I had you on the podcast today, is because you're not just a successful entrepreneur, you're a conscious entrepreneur. So with that being said, what values do you look for in your employees?
That's a great one, man. They must be diligent. Diligent is the key. They must be willing to take that extra mile. They must be resourceful, because you can have all the resources in the world, but if you're not resourceful, it doesn't matter. They must be a team player. They must have integrity, right? And there's one more in there. I have it written down, right? But off the top of my head, those are the four values, right? And we have it in an actual company document. You know, you pull it up, like, here's the company handbook. Like, here are the values of the company. Here's the mission. Here's the, you know, let's see if I can pull it up. Did you want to see that, Dave?
No. You don't have to. We've elaborated on it enough for sure. All right. So, you know, it's funny, we've been talking for a few minutes now, and I'm not sure whether people really truly understand what it is that you do. So what is it, what service do you guys provide at AOLE?
Yeah, absolutely. So I often tell people AOLE is a mergers and acquisition fund. So what we do is we build, grow, and scale digital assets. So these are e-com stores, agencies using investor capital. So we're leveraging that investor capital to build these assets. They all accumulate data. That data becomes a portfolio to leverage other assets. So we have a portfolio of data where we're taking over 112 businesses right now, growing and scaling them, and then exiting those businesses for a multiple. See, a lot of people, when they're building a business, they're just building a business. They're not building an asset. They're not allocating their infrastructure to increase enterprise value. So when they go to exit their business is only worth 1/10 of what it could be. Versus allocating the right resources, allocating the right infrastructure, and then really positioning for an exit. That's why software companies sell for billions, man, data and infrastructure. Slack bought Salesforce for $37.7 billion, or Salesforce bought Slack, $37.7 billion, data and infrastructure, goal. So are we looking at our business, or are we looking at our business as a business or an asset? That's what I usually ask people. So no different than this, the most simple concept ever. People buy a house, they fix it, they put in equity, they sell it. Buy a business, put in equity, flip it, sell it.
You're definitely onto something. No wonder you guys are doing really well. And if someone were watching this podcast or listening to it on Spotify, and what would deem them to be a good fit to reach out to you? Who is the person that you guys usually want to work with?
Well, right now we're really going after the venture capitalists, because the venture capitalists really have the funding we need to scale our portfolio of 110, 112 assets. We're capping at 200. So bringing in a VC to pitch in a couple million, that's toy money. They're used to investing in startups anyway. Those are really our market right now. The venture capitalists, if you guys want an 18x return on your dollar, reach out to me.
I don't know if there are any venture capitalists listening to my podcast that have made it this far in the interview. But if you are, you can hit me up. I'm down to buy you dinner.
That being said, also real estate investors and franchisees. I mean, if you think about it, how many real estate properties do you need to become a real estate millionaire? You need a lot of properties, right? Because let's say you're renting something for $2,000. Let's say your mortgage is $2,000 a month. You're renting it for three. It's $1,000 a month profit. How many properties do you need to make $1 million a year? You tell me, right? So that's why when I look at investments and I look at investment options, I want to put my money where I know it's going to self-liquidate. I know I can put a dollar in. I know I can get out X. And if I can do that with a portfolio of data that doesn't bullshit me, it gives me numbers, logic, KPIs, I'll do that every single day of the week. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Oh,
yeah, you've got it down in Chinatown. Are you in LA right now?
No, I'm actually in DC right now. I'm back in, I'm all over the place, man. I'm all over the place.
But it's not about where you are right now. It's about where you're going. And so our final wrap-up question is, how does Alex Olave evolve his brand and go from millionaire to billionaire?
Venture capital firm. Easy, right? Because at the end of the day, you create a growth fund, you know you can put your money somewhere where investors can grow and scale it, right? So at that point, a venture capital fund or a private equity portfolio, you've got hundreds of millions of dollars to play with to grow and scale versus a couple million, right? So just by changing the audience, right? Just by changing the direction, still in the same field, right? But just a different category, we're able to expand our company, but also get it to where we want to go in the billions. Because I'll tell you right now, a company who does $10 million a month, $120 million a year, right, would easily sell for a 10x multiple. That's 1.2 billion. It's an easy 10x multiple. Digital assets sell for about a 20 to 60x. So that's where we're going, baby, to the metaverse. All of our assets will be in the metaverse. You guys are hearing it first here on the podcast, where you can know, like, trust the brand, feel what you're going to buy before ever shipping it to your door. NFTs, I'm just going to keep it there.
When's your NFT line dropping? Am I going to get on the white
list? I will tell you guys this, right? NFTs right now have been digital art. Imagine NFTs that are planets that people can build on. Worlds that people can build on. And the idea was inspired by people who were building Minecraft lands and selling the Minecraft land and the blockchain where people could build on. Why not build planets and universes? We are the creators. It's kind of weird. We're almost like waking up to the fact and the innate ability that we are creators because we're creating worlds. What if we are in a metaverse right now? What if this is a metaverse?
Alex, let's just reward the listener that made it through the end of the interview. Not financial advice. Do you have a moonshot coin that you are big on?
Cardano, man. Cardano. I think it's the future. Not financial advice, right? I think it's going to be one of those that you see Litecoin went, you know, from like $5 to 400 over a couple of years, right? You know, Cardano is one of those coins, man. You know, so
not tell Alex Becker that.
Not financial advice, but I'm all in.
Awesome. Alex, I hope this is just the first of many. I really appreciate you taking the time and coming on. And I've had a few other guests who it's really incredible to look back where they were when I interviewed them to where they are today. And I'm sure the same is going to be said with you. So we're looking forward to your growth in 2022 and beyond.
Awesome. Thank you, Dave. Thank you for having me. And thank you, listeners, for listening. Appreciate you, man.
You're very welcome. Guys, if you enjoyed this episode, feel free to drop a like, drop a comment, reach out to Alex on Facebook, Alex Olave, or myself, Dave Gold, David S. Goldstein on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. And if you want to learn more about the Evolve Mastermind 2.0 that's dropping for conscious leaders, we're going to be starting very soon. It's going to be an amazing opportunity for you to grow both your personal and your business. Okay. I look forward to hearing from you. It's been a pleasure. Talk to you soon. Yeah.